sense. Failure to hear and apply the word of God preached, taught, or read practically in every situation of the Christian life. Because that's where we're meant to be applying the word of God, in every single situation of the Christian life. This problem restricts the effectiveness of sound biblical teaching, which is intended to bring spiritual maturity that is being built up in our most holy faith. It interferes with that growth, that maturity. And this is the problem the writer had to deal with in Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6. The problem here is the writer could not move on to the meatier doctrines concerning the nature and preeminence of Christ's high priestly office. He stopped in his tracks, as it were. There are many churches and many people in those churches who prevent the further teaching, instruction, the mature teaching, instruction, the meatier things of Christ from going on, and churches want to remain with milk, the milk of God's word, in their immaturity. So he stopped here. He doesn't go on teaching the preeminence of Christ's priestly office. He had to wait until chapter 7 to return to that, to finish what he had started in chapter 3 and verse 1, really, when he mentions that, and he wants them to consider this. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. And then he goes on in chapter 5, where Jesus Christ, God's Son, has been shown to be, as we read, God's legitimate high priest, as Aaron and the Levitical priesthood were before, in Hebrews 5 and verses 5 to 9. But Jesus Christ is God's high priest specifically, supernaturally and beyond them, superior to them, according to the order of Melchizedek. And when it says here about according to the order of Melchizedek, that's what he's dealing with. There is not a direct comparison between Melchizedek and Christ's priestly office. There cannot be a man that can compare with the priest, high priestly office of Jesus Christ. So this is not a direct comparison. Very little said about Melchizedek, and I'm not going to deal with that now. But there's a new order. And that's what the Hebrews need to realize there in Hebrews chapter 5 and note verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek. This leads to problems. Note verse 11, after that, of Hebrews chapter 5, of whom we have many things to say and hard to utter, seeing ye are dull of hearing. And so the writer needs to literally digress to deal with this immaturity. We come to the point this evening where the writer begins his digression to deal with the problem of immaturity, primarily brought on by the fact that the Hebrews had become dull of hearing the word of God, dull of hearing the preached word of God, dull of hearing the taught word of God, the read word of God. They had become dull of hearing. They had become sluggish, slothful, blunt, dull, spiritually slack in their lack of hearing, heeding the instruction of the writer and others. So we come then to Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 12 to 14. And we'll see, God willing, three things and then some application. See, firstly, the writer reminds them, or the Hebrews, what they should be. What they should be. And along the Christian road, it's often good to look at what we should be, as well as to look back. Look back where we should be. Look at what we've been in the past. But what we should be. And what we are at present. That's what the second point. What they were at present. And the basic reason for the condition is already a reason in verse 11, but there are other reasons given while they're in this state of spiritual immaturity and therefore need to be re-instructed. I think it's a good thing when we have to retrain for certain things. And in Christianity, we have to keep on retraining. But if we have to go back, then it's unnecessary energy. And it's a burden on the resources of the church. We need to listen. We need to pay attention and focus. So what the Hebrews should be, and it's there in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for this time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. They needed milk and not strong meat. Note it says, for, in verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. For. The original layout is even for, or and moreover. For or indeed. There's emphasis. What he's about to say then is based on what he has already said. The Hebrews had become dull of hearing and could not grasp what the writer was teaching because of their failure to listen and so apprehend the writer's instruction over a period of time. We're not talking about a few days. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. They were not where they should be. We who teach understand this. We teach and we want to go on, but we cannot because a child or a person cannot grasp it. But this is not natural. They can't grasp what we say, not because they haven't got the ability, but because they have not been listening properly. And they're not where they ought to be. I said to the children earlier, and I preach to the children as I do to adults, were you listening? Were you listening to the scriptures? There's a very important point there. Because the scriptures are read. How many times we had the scriptures read today to us? Were we listening? How many spiritual songs did we sing today? Apart from the preaching of God's word, were we listening? It's God's word. It's God's breath that we are listening to. But we know that as teachers, and some teachers here, and we know from our own children and experience, they're not where they ought to be because they've not been paying attention. When it says there in Hebrews chapter 12, 5 and verse 12, ought, where it says ought, ought has to do with owing. To be indebted, obliged, in other words, to rectify a debt. They had a duty, in other words, a responsibility by now to be teachers. It was necessary. They should be teachers. The same word ought is found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 3 that we just read, talking about the high priestly office. And by reason hereof, qualification of high priest, ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer sins, because he's a man, because he has like weaknesses. The high priest, the earthly high priest, offers sacrifices for himself as well as for the people. That's how it must be. That's how it ought to be. The New King James says it's required. Hebrews 2 and verse 17. Hebrews 2 and verse 17, where we have this word ought, but it's behoved. Hebrews 2 and verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, talking about Christ, you know, he became man. He's dealt with all that. Verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it had to be, behoved him, ought to be. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. It had to be. It had to be. He had to be made like us to do that, to achieve that, to stand as our representative, to intercede for us before God. It had to happen. We have the same ought in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. And if you note verse 28, Ephesians 5 and verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. But it ought to be, and we understand the gravity of that in the marriage relationship. It must be. It must be. Going back to our text, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for a time ye ought to be, you must be. Well, the right saying is based on the instruction, the length of the instruction, the depth of the instruction. If the Hebrews were truly paying attention, then by now they would be teachers. It's conclusive. There's no doubt about it. It's down to their lack of concentration and applying themselves. So remember, the Hebrews have fallen away from Christ. They're going back to their Jewish rituals. They're going back to their Jewish roots to be justified and things like that. And paid attention. They would be teachers. And when it says teachers, instructors, masters in the Christian doctrine, their Christian doctrine in theology. So that this teaching concerning the superiority of Jesus Christ, the nature of his priestly office, would be grasped, and not only grasped, it would be taught by them. They'll be able to teach it. You think of some of the sermons that we have heard over the years, many of us who are a bit older in the faith, and some a lot older in the faith, we've heard many sermons. Where should we be? Consistent, consecutive reading through the scriptures, preaching week in, week out. Should be teachers. That's what the writer says. But secondly, what the Hebrews were, what they should be. It's good to look at, and I said, that picture. Where should I be by now? It's good to look back. Where should I be now? Okay, we forget those things behind us. I'm not talking about a depressive looking back. We look forward and press on to the goal, yes. But we have to look back and see where we are. Where from in Revelation, look back from whence, note where you have fallen from. You need to look back. So secondly, what the Hebrews were. What were they? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for this time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. That's where they were. That's what they were now. Instead of being teachers, they need now someone to teach them again. You see the repetitive nature, the draining on the resources of the church and the preacher himself. Instead of being teachers, they need someone to teach them again. They needed an instructor themselves to teach, direct, admonish them. One says this word teach nearly always refers to the teaching of the scripture, the written word of God. It is the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The writer is reminding here then the Christ disciples, the Hebrew Christians, of Christ's teaching himself. The apostles themselves received the teaching of Christ. Remember, particularly in John 14, what were they waiting for? They were told what would happen on the day of Pentecost. Remember in John's Gospel and chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 26. John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 26. The Lord comforts, but note what's said here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. They weren't just waiting for this Spirit, like the charismatics would say, just to come upon them. They weren't expecting that. In many senses, they were waiting for the Spirit to come and give understanding and direction and teaching. The writer wants them to be teachers. They need someone to teach them again. It's the teaching of God's word, primarily the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The same word teaching is found in 2 Timothy 2. And again, we get the picture in 2 Timothy and chapter 2. And note verse 2 in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Why? Who shall be able to teach others? You see the effect? Commit it to faithful men, men who have been paying attention, men who have paid attention in not only hearing but applying the word to their lives, mature men. They've grown up in the Holy Scriptures and in the faith, that they may commit it to others. Also, this teaching is in Galatians, Galatians 1 and verse 12. Galatians 1 and verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Going back to our text in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, you ought to be teachers. Ye have need that someone teach you again. Teach you what? Teach you the scriptures. Teach you what we were taught. Teach what has been commended should be taught. That teaching should carry on. Remember 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. And verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. You realize the implications there of not maturing In verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have found. What traditions, if you haven't been listening? If you haven't been paying attention, what traditions? And that's where the church often is today. It's groping for traditions. So what is it doing? It takes to itself traditions that are not according to the scripture. Why? Because they've not paid attention to the preaching of God's word, the teaching of God's word, the instruction of God's word, the reading of God's word. It means to teach someone here. You need someone to teach you. The Hebrews need an instruction. They need someone, whether it is the writer, he doesn't just say himself there, whether it's the writer or someone else, they need a teacher. This is drastic. It's not only talking about time wasting and drawing the resources on the church, but there's an urgency there. You need to be re-instructed. You wouldn't dare say that in the church today when they start to say things or different things about the doctrines of Christ and live. We don't go up and say, you need to be re-instructed. Well, that's what we should be saying. That's what preachers should be saying. All sorts of things are going on in the church today, but they need re-training. They need a teacher to teach, and not what it says there in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the first principles of the oracles of God. The first principles of the oracles of God. They needed to learn, as it were, again, the basics, the ABCs of their Christian profession of faith. The fundamentals, the rudimentals, the basics of Christianity. When it says principle, it's the basic principles. It's used in Galatians 4 and verse 3 of the basic principles of the world. The world runs by principles. You understand that? Let's read that portion in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. A note, verse 3. Galatians 4 and verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements, that's our word, principles of the world. The principles of the world. And Colossians 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2 and verse 8. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the cross. I'm looking at Philippians, sorry. Colossians 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It's that basic principles, the philosophy of the world. But here we have the basic, the foundations of Christianity. They needed to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God. When we say oracles, I think we all understand it's divine utterance. It comes from logos, divine declaration. In other words, the scriptures. Same word is found in Romans. The oracles of God is found in Romans chapter 3, just for your own direction. Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. Go from verse 1. What advantage then have the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. What was committed to them? The Old Testament scriptures, the word of God. And particularly in 1 Peter 4, the word of God brought by faithful ministers. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Verse 11, if any man speak Let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and at dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let him speak according to the oracles of God, public preaching, teaching of the word of God, the ministry of the word. They would be and should be teachers, but need to be taught. They need a teacher. They need a preacher to go back and teach them the basics. They needed milk, the milk of God's word, and not the solid food, the meat of God's word, the Christian teaching. They needed milk. They wanted to stay on the basics. The same sort of thing is found in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 1 to 3. We have the same idea. But 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hither to ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Immaturity is seen in carnality, the world coming into the church. And what's the consequence of this carnality, this worldliness in the church? Immaturity, so that the word of God, the media doctrines of God, of Christ, cannot be instructed. They cannot be instructed in them. So you understand that they won't grow, and there's a loss on their part and on the part of the ones seeking to teach and instruct. There's a great draining on the resources, but also those who are not growing. As if our children didn't grow, we would have a problem. If they didn't mature, there would be a problem, and we'd want to deal with it. The same here. The immaturity is plain. They were immature. They should be teachers, but they are immature. The basic reason for this condition, you could say more reasons for this condition. Remember, in verse 11, we have the basic reason there of Hebrews chapter 5. We have, of whom we have many things to say and hard to utter, seeing ye are dull of hearing. But note verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 5. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled. That's what they were on. That's what they needed. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in word, in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He is a babe. More problems. They were babies. Adults who were babies. Heard some stories about adults who like to be babies. It's not good. It doesn't look good, and it's not good. The Christians are no different. They don't feed. They seem to remain. They want to remain there. And that describes a large part of the church today. They want to stay there. In this nice, comfy, woolly environment and not grow. Another basic reason then for the Hebrews not being where they ought to be. For the cause, no, it says again that word for in Hebrews chapter 13. For everyone that useth milk, that for expressing cause. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Remaining on the basics of Christianity had left them unskilled. And that's a problem in the world today. You can Young people, you aspire, I hope, to get an education. My son had desires for the ministry, and the first thing I said to him, get yourself a proper education, and a proper qualification for a job. Because the ministry isn't easy, and oftentimes churches haven't got a lot of money. You've got to be practical, and you've got a wife. And it's the same in the world. An unskilled Christian is in a terrible condition. He can't even use the scriptures properly. He doesn't understand. He doesn't enter into the promises of God and enjoys. They were unskilled. Not a problem. They was unskilled. And if a person's unskilled, he can't move forward. They needed to be taught again. They were inexperienced. That's what that word has to do with. Inexperienced or untested, ignorant. It is not tested, or more than that, it is not being successful when tested. Not being successful when tested or tried. And our faith is always tried. That's what makes us what we are as Christians. That's what causes growth, maturity. Failed the test. And this is what was happening to the Hebrew Christians when persecution came. Concerning their faith, they faltered. They were content to remain on the elementary doctrines of their Christian faith and not meet. They become dull in hearing, and this resulted in their being unskilled. They weren't prepared to put the effort and energy in, like some Christians do in the gym rather than the church. Unskilled, and note what it says there, unskilled in the word of righteousness. God, that's the foundation of our Christian doctrine, the righteousness of God. They're unskilled in the word of righteousness. They were unskilled. And when it says word there, in the word that had been communicated to them by instruction, the doctrines they had become dull in hearing of. That word. The righteousness. They were unskilled, inexperienced in the doctrines of righteousness, which has to do with the judicial approval of God, as we know how sinful men are approved of God. Remember that famous text in Romans chapter 3. That righteousness is the same in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21 and 22. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest... sorry, that's not the text I wanted. Romans chapter... Am I looking at the right text? God forbid, not rather. Not at all. Is it written? Throw it in an open mouth. Sorry, I can't find the text. Right, just take that text there. Sorry, Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Verse 22, 1. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should commit adultery? That's not the text. Sorry, I don't know. I can't even see the text, what I'm looking for. Being justified freely by his grace, verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed. That's not the text, sorry. We are freely justified by God's grace. But now the righteousness of God is revealed in the law, separate from the law, even the righteousness of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. They chose not. They were unskilled, unexperienced in the righteousness of God that pleases God. Can't find the text. Sorry, my mind has gone there. Am I reading? Sorry, I'm reading chapter 4. I'm sorry, I do this often, especially when I'm tired. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all of them that believe. For there is no distinction, Jew or Gentile. They were unskilled in the instruction, the basic teaching of the righteousness of God. And so, as I said earlier, they, as Jews, they were going back to the righteousness of the law. That opens them up to everything. The burden of the law, the rigor of the law, the condemnation of the law. The righteousness of God obtained only through faith in Jesus Christ, being justified freely by his grace and his grace alone. Divine approval. They were unskilled in that. Being justified freely, they chose a diet of milk. Did not receive the word. They came in to need milk. That was their sustenance. That was what was sustaining them. That was like their habit, their drug, as if you like, their need. They needed milk through choice. They are self-confessed babes, inexperienced in the basic Christian doctrines needed to bring about this maturity. They were babes in their Christian doctrine, unable to receive the meteor doctrine such as what the writer was hoping to instruct them in. The mediatory work of Jesus Christ as their high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek and not Aaron or the Levitical priesthood. Time was wasted. Their own spiritual stability was put on hold. And to go back to teach these basic things and not the meatier things of Christ. Also note verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 5. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Solid food. The meteor doctrines are for those who are mature. And they're mature because they've not done what the Hebrews did. They're mature because they took heed to the word of God. They're mature because they listened carefully. They were instructed. And they were enabled not only to grow in the grace of God, but become full age. Mature, that's what it means. Full age, mature, solid food, mature doctrines are for those who are mature. So you see people in the church who are struggling. I'm not talking about, well, we might struggle with perhaps assurance that can plague all of us at some points. But when we come to these doctrines and we're arguing the church about the basic doctrines, say the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ or the Trinity, you know, these basic teachings in the scripture, and because the ones who can grasp them are those who have fed on the word of God. They're mature. Full age. Solid food belongs to those who are full age, mature. And it tells you who they are. Note what they do. They perform a spiritual exercise. There in verse 14. But the strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. It's an exercise. They're exercising by reason of the use. Has to do, when it says reason of use, it has to do with habit. It has to do with condition. Constant use. One says a power acquired by custom practice. As with the body, we put a lot of effort in. I said that before. Remember 1 Timothy, if I get the right text, I remember it. 1 Timothy 4. In 1 Timothy 4 and verses 17, 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 4 and verses 7 and 8. But refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. Many exercise their bodies in the gym. Well, it says exercise. Christianity is about exercising, as it is about fighting a warfare and resisting. About exercise godliness. It says senses there, doesn't it? And by senses, the writer has in mind perception, the facility of perception. It is the exercise of Christian spiritual discernment. Christians have to discern. They have to discern between the spirits. Christian discernment. Exercise the discernment. Christian discernment. One says it's the concrete organ of sense. Becoming virtually a habit, ability which must be developed and enables believers to distinguish between the spirits. It is a spiritual gift and must be developed in practice. We need to discern. It's a gift of the Spirit, but we need to exercise it. Note what this exercise of the spiritual senses achieves. Note in our text, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. Why is the world, why is the church today making bad choices? Why is all this stuff coming into the church? Why? Because they're not using discernment, spiritual discernment. They're not exercising discernment. They're not thinking about discernment. As we would even use in the world, we use the five senses and we look around. We look around. We have the senses of sight, hearing, smell, touch, taste, and we use those senses. And even in the Bible, we're told to not to look on things that are evil and sinful, but to set our mind on things above, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But we have to discern the senses, the spiritual senses, discern between what is good and evil. In other words, what is good and evil doctrines, bad and good. We teach our children those basics, what is bad and good. Let me just bring some concluding applications then this evening. The Hebrew Christians were baby Christians. They were not mature, not as mature as they should have been. They should have exercised the senses of hearing, at least in Hebrews chapter 5, and verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you have become dull of hearing. They should have exercised their hearing. They should have listened. They should have heard. If they had exercised a sense of hearing, then their spiritual brain would have led to mature discernment in the choices they made and so led to growth. They would have pushed on from where they started. Do you know any Christians like that? You may be in that position. I don't know. They've not pushed on from where you started. Remember where they were in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32 and following. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense and reward. You have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye may receive the promise. That's where they were. They were prepared to die for the faith. They were prepared to suffer for the apostle and the writer himself. They had their goods taken away from them. Now they are here now being saying, being told, you've not pushed on from there. You've gone backwards. You've laid a foundation again. You should be teachers and you're not. You need someone to teach you. And this was the problem that frustrated the apostle in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. And that would not have existed had they listened, had they paid attention. Hence the great doctrines of the supremacy of Christ, the mediation of Christ's priesthood, amongst other doctrines, would have been not only learned by them, they would have grown, they would have taught the same thing. The writer says, go on, you need to go on to maturity. The writer means spiritual growth. You need to grow in the grace, joy, wonder, and steadfastness of your Christian faith. All these, but they remained as babes, and we do not want to remain a babe. They would not have to return to these elementary things, but they would have moved on to greater doctrines and greater things as being instructed in the word of God, the promises of God. And the simple question is, where are we spiritually, my dear brethren? Are we able to discern between the good and evil, the good doctrines and evil doctrines that come into our lives and into the church? I suggest that many of us are not where we should be, because it's evident. We make bad choices that rob us of spiritual growth and send us back to where we were in the beginning, and forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, we choose bad company and worldly company, and not the company of the people of God in gathering together with the people of God, as the Hebrews did in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Some people are struggling with basic Christian teaching that would liberate their perception of Jesus Christ and their Christian faith through neglection. And that's what the Hebrews did again in Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just compense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? By them that heard him. We need to grow as Christian. That's what's encouraged here. Lack of growth through failure to listen carefully to the teaching, the preaching of the word of God. Dullness and not momentary meditation and application of the teaching of God's word will retard us, lead us to physical, mental, emotional, and ultimately spiritual problems instead of the blessing condition that's spoken of in Psalm 1. Remember Psalm 1? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, its leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Many spiritual problems in the church are caused by this lack of maturity. And we are told everywhere in the scripture to meditate on the word of God. Meditate on what's spoken that we might be taught ourselves, that we might teach others and direct them to Christ. We need to grow as Christians. We need to understand many scriptures I've got here. We need to grow on solid food, the word of God's word, which according to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 has everything we need. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's all there. It's all there. And it's all there in the preaching, teaching, and opening up of God's word. Now, this word isn't for baby Christians. You understand that? The apostle, the writer, is not speaking to Christians doing the faith and saying you're not where you should be. They may not be, but they're babies. You need to grow. And you begin on milk. He said that. He said that to the Galatians. I fed you on milk. And you're not able to move on to the meat. That's all he's saying. We start on milk. That's where we begin. We don't remain on milk, because a baby wouldn't remain on milk. It needs to grow, develops teeth, and it matures and it grows up. We need to grow in discernment. We're babes in Christ, but we need to grow nonetheless. And we grow by taking heed to God's word. The basic principles first, but then the more meatier. We must grow. We can't put the meatier doctrines to one side. Remember, we need to give a reason for the hope that is in us. So we need to be aiming for that, but not at the beginning. And my unbelieving friend, this is not primarily for you. It's not primarily for you, other than the basics. You need faith in Jesus Christ. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And how will they hear without a preacher? That's what Romans 10, 14 and 17 tell us. You want to be saved? Then listen to the preaching of God's word. Jesus said, as I said this morning, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It may seem a long way off now, but they're already looking at the world. They're giving all excuses for the destruction of the world. Well, one day Jesus is coming and the elements will melt and everyone will give an account to God. We need to repent and believe the gospel. Sorry, I lost some of the scriptures there. I trust the Lord has given you some understanding and some direction to know that we need to mature, whatever stage we are in a Christian faith. And if we're not Christians, then we need to believe and be saved, and we need to grow up if we're baby Christians, and we need to mature, maintain a maturity if we are older in the faith. Let's pray.